Cincinnatus, the ideal dictator. Hitler and Stalin need not apply. The term dictator is widely bandied about in everyday terminology, and particularly in 20th century history. If you look up the definition of a dictator in a dictionary, it says a ruler with absolute power and authority, or a person whose word must be obeyed. Well, that is close to what the original term meant, except now we usually equate that with being a mass murderer, Hitler, Stalin, those sorts of things. The original definition of it comes from the Roman government. In the Roman government, the Latin word dictator stood for an extraordinary magistrate, a person who, in time of national catastrophe, could be selected by the Senate to hold complete emergency power over the state until either the crisis was settled or for a maximum of 6 months. At the end of that six-month period of time, the Senate could renew. Now, an example of renewal of a dictatorship would have been Fabius Maximus or Quintus Fabius during the Second Punic War when Hannibal was invading Italy. He had his renewed on several occasions. But let's go back to the immediate creation and who the Romans would put as the ideal dictator. And that is a gentleman named Licinius Quincinius Cincinnatus. He's born in 519 BCE and lived till 438 BCE, which is a very, very long time. He is obviously a patrician, since the patricians could only hold the dictatorship. He was a patrician with only 4 acres of land. And he is selected as a dictator, or called as a dictator, in 458 BCE when 3 local tribes began attacking Rome, which happened periodically. Now, the Roman government, which had 2 consuls, one representing the plebeians and one the patricians, you have the Senate, which served for life, declared war. Those were patricians. There's an assembly of tribes where you have the plebeians, and they have a very excellent government of checks and balances, one that is copied by the United States in many cases. But they recognize that in a national emergency, trying to get everybody to agree on anything could be a catastrophe. So the Senate had the emergency power. They were the group that declared war in Roman society, Roman Republic society, I should say, that they could select someone that they trusted with this power. So these 3 tribes are attacking Rome. The Senate selects Cincinnatus to be the dictator. They go out to him. One version has him, the most standard story is that he was plowing his field. The Roman historian Livy said he was doing some farming activity, and other people say he might have been digging a ditch. He's doing something on his property. The Senate comes up and says, "We've elected you dictator." He probably argued with them a little bit, put his plow down or whatever he was doing, went in and got his military equipment, and in a 15-day period, levied new troops, surrounded and destroyed his enemy, or the attacking tribes, and then returned to Rome in victory. He walks into the Senate, lays down the sword of war, informs the Senate that he's done, he wants to go back and farm. Now that is the Roman idea of a dictator. You go in and you do what you have to do, and when it's over, you go home. Now this is not lost on the Americans during the American Revolution. If you look at the American Revolution, there is an organization formed at the end of the American Revolution called the Organization of the Cincinnati. And what this group was, it was made up of officers who served in the Continental Army during the American Revolution, of course led by George Washington. On the successful completion of the American Revolution, after George Washington resigns his commission, so does the entire officer corps of the Continental Army. And they become this organization of the Cincinnati, informing the Congress that if their services are ever needed again, they have but to be called upon If you study early American history, particularly the early founding of the government, most states had a real concern with a standing army, which is why we've had militias for so many times, state militias, because the concern was that a standing army could be used to overthrow the government. So regular armies are only used on certain occasions. And this organization of the Cincinnati became very, 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 not necessarily powerful, but very elite. Franklin Pierce, President Franklin Pierce, one of the proudest things that he had was that he had been a member as a result of some of his family background. But that's what a real dictator is from Roman times. So many times we forget where these words originate in their original term. I believe Cincinnati, Ohio is named after Cincinnati. I've looked that up in some of my geographical material, and it doesn't say. So you might want to check that if you're going to plan on using that part of it. I've always thought it was named after Cincinnati. So as you can see, Hitler and Stalin need not apply to become a dictator. They're just mass murderers. Don't forget to come by my website, sumahistorica.com, and see some of the other historical ruminations that I have put together. And leave me some feedback or give me some topics if you're looking for a particular item. Thank you.